All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Corner Store Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Koval. Thank you for tuning in. And for those folks who are new to the show, welcome. We had an issue with our Apple downloads. And so if you are on Apple Music, if you're listening to this on Apple Music, you might need to subscribe to us again. And of course, we appreciate reviews and give us those 5 stars. And I'm very excited for today's show because we have some really incredible people in the Corner Store today. Folks who have been organizing for the last few years to get the name of a park on the west side of Chicago changed. And I'm going to let them tell the story, but if I'm not mistaken, they hail from Village Leadership Academy. We have, I think, what I presume to be a teacher and one of her students. We have Bianca and Rihanna. Is it Rihanna? Am I pronouncing your name right?
Renaya,
my bad. Bianca and Renaya in the building. Y'all, welcome to the Corner Store.
Thank you.
I understand. I've been following, you know, what you guys have been doing for some time, and I've wanted to have you on the show before. So I'm grateful that we have the opportunity to do so. But I also understand a congratulations are in order because you guys have had a semblance of some victory over the last few months, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, we have. Renaya, you wanna speak to this one?
What are you exactly asking?
Our big victory. What did we just like celebrate on Wednesday?
Yeah, I heard. Oh, yeah, please.
On Wednesday, some of us spoke to the Board of Commissioners. And they said that we got the park changed.
Yeah, so essentially on Wednesday, the Board of Commissioners held a meeting. And in that meeting was the second process of the park renaming. So the first process when they met on July 18th was initiating a 45-day public comment period to remove the name of Stephen Douglas, right, the slave owner who is the namesake of the park. In this meeting, they initiated the next 45-day process, which is to rename the park Anna and Frederick Douglass Park. So considering, you know, if there's no mass public dissent, this is it. This is official. We will now have Anna and Frederick Douglass Park.
Yeah. No, well, congratulations. And I want to back it up. You know, Renaya, if I can ask, you know, how did you first come into this work? I know this has been an ongoing and lengthy process, and I want to talk about the organizing involved. But how did you first get drawn to this campaign?
I got drawn to this campaign. I was in fourth grade when the fifth graders, the very old fifth graders, they're in high school now.
Okay, very old then. So, yes.
And they started presenting to the school, and we all thought it was a great idea until they went to sixth grade. And my class, we became fifth graders, and we decided to keep the campaign going.
Okay. And why was this campaign for you, Renaya, so important that you wanted to follow it through these years?
Because I live in North Lawndale, really close to Douglass Park.
Okay. And if you can tell me in Bianca, or maybe I should call you Miss Jones. I don't know.
Bianca's good.
Bianca. Okay. Bianca, how did you come to know Renaya? How did you guys link up?
Yeah. So what Renaya was explaining briefly was that essentially, I was working. So back in the 2016 to 2017 school year, that was me. I was a lead middle school English teacher at Village Leadership Academy. And the structure of VLA is that it's a social justice school. And the biggest hallmark of that is that every class embarks on a grassroots campaign. So every homeroom teacher leads their class in this campaign. And students usually choose what they want to focus on. And then it's a student-led project all year. So in that fall of 2016, my then fifth graders decided that they actually wanted to tackle police violence. So I was kind of like, okay, you know, let's figure out how we can work with this in a way that my classroom isn't a constant site of trauma. So what we did was I pivoted it so that we would humanize victims of police violence. So essentially what we did was we started reaching out to different families of folks who had been like murdered in Chicago and seeing who would, you know, want to speak to us to tell us about their loved one. Like, what don't we know that was never mentioned in news articles? So we had like some good like interviews and like ways to build with different families. So we had a strong connection with two. That was the family of Rakia Boyd, Martinez Sutton. Her brother was like active in our classroom. And then Ronnie Man Johnson, his mom was very much willing to like communicate and build with us. And so the link between those two is that they were both killed near Parks. Rakia Douglas, Ronnie Man Jackson Park. So the students thought like, man, what if we do something to commemorate them in the park? Maybe could we have the park renamed? So they had like a letter writing campaign to the alderman. The West Side alderman, Michael Scott Jr., is the one who responded. They had a meeting. He basically said, it's not likely that the park will be renamed after Rakia. The park district is going to want to hear about a historical figure. So he said, I've always thought that the park should be named after Frederick Douglass because Stephen Douglass was a slave owner. So he was like, would y'all be willing to kind of move forward with that? And we were like, yeah, for sure. So that was kind of the beginning of the campaign. That was March 2017.
Wow, that's incredible. So this is what's interesting about March 2017 is that obviously it predates by a few years some of the movement now, and there have been, you know, the taking down of statues and the call, you know, but recently and now, you know, to rename certain public spaces. So Renai, did you know that you were going to kind of set the trend in this work? I mean, have you been paying attention to all these other instances around the country of this kind of thing? Did you know that you were going to be kind of a forerunner at the vanguard of all of this work?
I mean, I didn't know I would. Students in my class, they were talking. They was like, this is going to set off a worldwide thing. And we had that conversation during our lunch period one day. And that was all we were talking about. We was like, this is going to set off a worldwide thing. There's so many parks and places and streets named after slave owners. And Black communities, not only Black communities, but people who were enslaved. And we just talked about that throughout the whole class period. And his, like, the student who brought it up first was Zaire.
Mm-hmm. And Renaya, if I can ask, why is it important for you? Why are you excited that this park now is going to be renamed after or named after Frederick and Anna Douglass? What things about them draw you to their story?
I'm just excited that the park would be named after Frederick and Anna Douglass because it's something I can remember forever. I mean, I could go back to that park, play, tell a story, and just enjoy it. Enjoy the memories, enjoy the new sign, enjoy if they make a statue or something. Like in my head, I think it's gonna be a whole new park with the new name, the new world or something.
Wow.
It's just gonna
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it is the beginning of a new world. I think you're right. I think that's really, really well said. And I think that you're right, Bianca. You've worked with your students over these years. What are some of the things that you feel like they're learning in this process? What are some of the things that you know along the way you think that they're what lessons are they? You know, what are some of the things that they're learning?
Yeah, so much. And that's kind of like been my biggest thing of like what I've even learned as an educator throughout this campaign of like the way that this like has moved outside of the classroom and has developed all of them, like, and has just aided their personal development in so many ways. It's just like inspiring to me. It's like, this is how it should look. You know what I mean? Like there's more than the standard curriculum. There's more than us sitting at the desk all day. And be like, this is what we can do. So if I think of this, like, I think about one, their research skills have been honed. So, and after we had a historian come to the class, and he kind of taught us more. He's a part of the University of Chicago Reparations Working Group. And so he was working with the descendants of folks who were enslaved by the Douglass family. you know, receive reparations through the University of Chicago, because it was Stephen Douglas put up a large sum of money to actually establish the university. Wow. So he came in and so he talks a bunch about like how many slaves, where it was, what he was known like as like a handler, etc. So then that kind of pushed them to do research on their own. And when I would have them do research on their own, I would always have them like present it back to me. So then it's like, you know, synthesizing the information, then reporting back, the public speaking that's involved. When I think about early on, we would do train takeovers because the students really found that to be fun, because it's like we left school for a while, we would go jump on the blue line and we had signs and we had a whole thing that we would say like, you know, and to get everyone's attention and tell them about the injustice happening, right, you know, in Douglas Park. And that, we had like long, we had a good conversation before we went out about like what it means when you approach someone. Like, one, like, doing the best in people. Like, people are on, they're on their way somewhere. Like, we can't necessarily assume if I'm interested in this moment that's where students. But they don't want to support us. It's like, well, I don't know. Maybe they don't know what you're going to say. Maybe their headphones on. Maybe they're in a rush. They're late to work. So it's like, we talked about assuming the best. We talked about what it meant to accept rejection. Like, some because they things, so we got to like shrug our shoulders and keep it moving, because that's what life is. We're going to experience rejection and got to get match that. Then with our canvassing, the same skills plus even reading body language in a certain way, like, hey, I don't like those folks don't look as if they want to talk, but maybe these folks do. Or like, how do we use the right language to pitch it to them? Like, hey, do you have a moment to hear about our campaign? Like, so we talked about what a pitch was, and then the kind of interview skills that are being developed, because those get these kinds of like press interviews and such, along with the organized strategy of like of just organizing strategies in general, and then like the ability to persist. Because what I realized, like, because I'm an educator on this campaign, and I did end up leaving UVLA at one point, and it was taken on by a new educator. I'm Jennifer Pagan, but the students have actually remained consistent. They have been consistent and persistent in pursuing this goal.
Wow. So, Renai, how many other people are in your crew? How many other students are involved in this campaign?
I'd like to say that there were 21 people in my class when I did it, but there was like 15 other students.
I recently did this, man. So out of like my fifth grade, my original fifth grade class, the second fifth grade class has been like 41 students who have worked on this campaign, like,
oh my God,
in our homeroom classes. So 41 have contributed to it. And then I would say this summer, Renaya, like while she's on this call, you've been a part of a push. This summer we've had a particular push of those who are like genuinely interested in making this happen. How many would you say have been involved this summer?
10, 9, 11.
Okay.
I would say the smaller, between 9 and 10.
So Renai, you even gave your summer up for this. I mean, you worked on this when you know didn't have to be in school and anything like that. You were that dedicated?
Yes.
And if I can ask, like, I mean, what are some of the things during this process that you've learned, generally?
Generally, like, teachers say that you don't have to be a grown-up to be a hero and make a difference in life. I didn't believe that. Like, for a good 2 years, I didn't believe that. And now I feel like I'm finally getting it. You don't have to be a grown-up to make a difference. After reading articles about other kids and what they've done, it's just cool. It's inspiring. So decided it'd be a good idea to keep this campaign going. To finally get the name changed.
Now that you're going to finally see this name change occur, and you'll go to the is this a park that you go to? Douglas Park is a park that you go to?
Yes, I go to it very often. Me, my dad, sister, mom.
Yeah. What do you like to do at the park?
I go to the playground. Sometimes we have barbecues. Sometimes we have birthday parties. It's just like if you need somewhere to go at a family event, we usually go to the park.
no doubt. Lovely. And now that you're about to see this park change because of the work, you know, you and Bianca and your fellow students have done, do you imagine you'll continue this kind of work? Like, what's next for you? You know, so the sign will change. There'll be a ceremony. You know, you'll have people will take pictures of you. And then do you go and change another park or do you change a street? What's next?
I think that I want to be like a community organizer or a lawyer, something to help people. Mm-hmm. Something to help people.
Wait, can I jump in and ask a question? So, Renaya, so since, I mean, for the last, 3 years, the Westbrook campaign for the homeroom has been the same. It's been renamed Douglas Park. So it's now since it's happened, you all are going to have GRC this year. So I'm just kind of wondering, has anybody been talking about what's next?
No, not really. We have GRC with Mr. Wattier now. And we first tried to think of something new. And it was way harder than I thought it was. Like, I mean, we're 8th graders now. Don't want to do like littering or something. Like they said that they wanted to do something like redlining. Everybody was like,
"Yeah,
that's." Everybody was a little iffy because we've been doing something for so long.
I mean,
somebody was like, "How about we stick on the park name change for a while, then we can think about our GRC."
Can't you just get A's after that? Like, can't they just be like, you know what? You got it. You good. Like, you did it, you know?
What everyone has said.
Really? That's what they said?
Yeah. So with Jasmine, Kayla, Shiloh.
That's funny. Renaya and Bianca, I'm going to ask you a question in a minute. But Renaya, real talk, is Bianca or Miss Jones, however you refer to her, is she a tough teacher?
No, not to talk to.
Okay.
I could go to Miss Jones for anything. But at school, she wasn't a tough teacher. For other students, I think.
But you guys get along. Well, that's good. Well, Bianca, you seem like a very dedicated and disciplined teacher. And I love the approach. And of course, that outside the classroom is the way to inform inside the classroom. You know, where do you come from as an educator? Like, how did you, you know, kind of gravitate toward VLA? And you know, how did you get into teaching?
I come from educators, raised by my grandparents. They were educators. So like, and I went to Catholic school. So like, if I would have more days off, you know, than like my grandmother typically as a public school teacher. So I would always just go to work with her. So I think a part of it comes naturally to me, even to the point where I've tried to resist it. Like, dang, I should be doing something else. I could be doing something else. So it's like, it comes natural. But like, honestly, my perspective really shifted at VLA. I got to give VLA a lot of credit. So, you know, you have the co-founders, Nakisha Hobbs, Anita Andrews Hutchison, the principal Dial Harris, like they're all like pretty radical sisters who like made the change that they want to see in the world of like an institution where Black children are receiving like as liberatory of an education as possible. So I think I had to unlearn a lot of stuff over time at VLA. Like that, you know, you know the way that you've been educated and then sometimes you replicate that as a teacher. But I learned I've learned over time, like, of just how ways that I want to actually be nothing like a teacher.
right. And are you from Chicago?
I'm not actually. I'm from Baltimore. But,
okay. Yeah, I feel like I hear it a little in your accent.
Yeah, I'll never lose the accent.
Yeah.
But I've been in Chicago since 2011.
Okay. Okay. Great.
I'm home now for sure.
Yeah. No doubt. Well, and I think Chicago and Baltimore share a lot too. You know, I think that there's some similarities between those cities. But Bianca, so what have you learned from Renaya and her peers? What have you learned, kind of, you know, in this process about not necessarily about your students, but about teaching? What have you learned from them? What have they showed you? I guess.
What have they shown me, man? So much. I don't know, respect the dedication. Like they, you know, every time they came back like, Miss Jones, I'm down. They showed me like their excitement, that they're ready. I feel like I've learned how like ready young people can be. Like if you have a small group, especially like this, if you have a small group that are dedicated, like Renaya right here, like I can call Renaya and be like, hey, we got something going on at 5 o'clock. Can you join us? Like, she's ready. I mean, I feel like it's like, I don't know. I just feel like I look at young people just like small humans. And I know these people who are like, these young folks who are more dedicated, they communicate more clearly and have more excitement than like a lot of adults in my life. It's just a different relationship with a different set of boundaries. But they are my people.
Yeah. No, that's real. Renaya, I imagine over these few years, it hasn't been, I mean, it took a few years, but it hasn't been, you haven't necessarily, I would imagine, have had advocates the whole way or the whole time. I'm sure there have been obstacles and roadblocks, and people have probably in this campaign told you all no. How have you overcome that? And what have been some of the most difficult things that you've had to overcome, or what instances?
I think the most difficult things was when, like, I was a real happy, bubbly person. And then when we went canvassing, people was like, no, I don't want to waste my time. And it hurt a little. But I just, okay, just smiled, kept going. And I learned that there was more people who cared than who didn't care and had places to be. Like, even some people who had places to be took a minute out of their time and gave to us. And yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that makes sense. You said, you know, one of the things you want to be, I mean, you are a community organizer, and so to continue to do this work of community organizing, it seems like you have the experience and are a bit of a natural. How did your family feel about you engaging in this campaign, if I can ask, Renaya?
My mom was way more excited than me. She works at VLA along with some other teachers. She's the science teacher, K-8. And my dad was beyond happy. I think I got some extra presents for just being inside of this. And my grandma and my grandpa's, like, my whole family, every morning something happened, I got a text. Thank you for something. Like, I can't remember from everybody sending me a text. But just because of that, I don't reply to many text messages.
My
grandpa and grandpa, they just save every news article. They laminate it. I get put on a wall of fame.
Just a wall of fame. Listen, I mean, you know, your phone is blowing up. You're on a wall of fame. You can't text your grandparents back. I mean, look, you're a big deal. You know what I mean? This is what happens.
You really are.
You really are. Bianca, so what is next for you? So this campaign is obviously like there, and I want to talk about kind of the, the actual, you know, changing over and some major dates on the calendar. But this campaign obviously is kind of, you know, been successful. It's been a victory. What are some of the things that's next for you? I mean, you have to do another project. What do you set your sights on?
Man, it's time to rest for me, especially after this summer. It's time to rest.
Yeah.
You know, like she said, they have a new teacher I'll probably find little ways to find myself engaged. And I have other organizing that I do throughout the city. And just to be engaged with them, like, now Renaya is cool. It's like, I'm not her teacher. Like, now I'm like, just, I don't know. What am I to you, Renaya?
I don't know. I think you're family.
Yeah. It's true. Like, we are family. We've all been connected for a while. I was like, I'm cool with her mom. Like, I can just be around, and I can just, like, you know, facilitate growth for these students under no institution, and I love that.
No, that's beautiful. All right, y'all. So what are these next stages then? What are some of the dates in the process that people could kind of look forward to, and maybe even point us, you know, I don't know if there's a date to actually, as Renaya, as you say, to change that sign over, but what are some of the next dates in this process? Or the next milestones, I guess I should say.
I think this Saturday we're going I think we are going to Douglas Park to celebrate our win with a lot of people.
Nice. Okay.
And a snowball machine.
Well, listen, that's going to be...
Y'all are the machine. Right. Yeah, no, so we'll be out in the park this Saturday. It's our official celebration. We will be at the intersection of 15th and Albany, where some folks, I think specifically the folks from A Long Walk Home, have named one of the trees the Rakia tree. So that's where we always meet. We'll be out there from 2 to 5. Bella is going to perform. We'll have a DJ. We're going to have food. We'll have snowballs. And it'll be a celebration.
Nice. Good. And then, when, Bianca, when do they start to kind of, you know, you mentioned these 45 days and then another 45 days. When is this process kind of getting towards an ending point and kind of the official change?
Yeah, so the next board meeting, I believe, after the 45 days is October 14th. So we'll probably jump into that one. I don't know if we'll speak at all, but I believe that that's when they will announce the renaming, like officially. In terms of signage and stuff, they've actually already started removing Stephen Douglas signs. They started removing the next day, 8 a.m.
Great. Wow.
So it's happening. I think now it's kind of like, it's also like strengthening our relationship with the park district and like being in on like, when are these signs coming down so we can be a part of it? And like, what is the date where they all will officially be done? And like, can we organize some kind of ceremony to commemorate?
Great. And where's the best place to follow? I know you guys have some online spaces. Where's the best place for people to be in touch or to follow along with you all about the campaign?
Our Instagram, I think it's VLA_change the name.
Correct. Okay, now say it again where it's not a question.
Yeah, our Instagram is VLA_change the name.
Okay, great. Yeah, and of course that's where, you know, I think that's how we were in touch, and that's a good place to see y'all's march and the success. And just really congratulations and thank you both for all of the work that you guys have been doing for all of these years. I know that's a long march, and it is, you know, for, as you say, Renaya, it is really for a new world. So thank you. Thank you both very much, Bianca and Renaya. Thank you for your work, and thank you both for being in the corner store this afternoon.
Appreciate you. Thank you for having us.
Pleasure. Shout out our super producer, DJ Cashera. Big up boss man, Todd Manley. Thank you to our official corner store photog, Mercedes Zapata. Salutes to the snack door, Max. Also, please, y'all, follow our Instagram. It's corner_pod on IG, on Twitter. Tell us who you want to see in the corner store. And also, please consider dropping a couple of dollars into our Patreon account. It's patreon.com/corner_pod.
The corner store is brought to you by Stolen Spirits.